This is Ozarks at Large. 72 years ago tomorrow, Orson Welles and his cast of radio actors unleashed their version of War of the Worlds to a largely unsuspecting country. Some panic did result from the broadcast, as some listeners turning in after a disclaimer explaining that the broadcast was a play thought Martians had actually landed near Grover's Mill, New Jersey. The radio play, based upon H.G. Wells' novel, created controversy and earned a government inquiry into broadcasting responsibility. Now, 71 years and 364 days later, we offer you this adaptation of the radio play by young actors with Arts Live Theater. This Reader's Theater version was recorded inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio at KUAF. Beth Brooks adapted the script for Arts Live. Jules Taylor served as the director. We'll hear the voices of Sarah Mills, Tori Butler, Faith Esco, Anna Street, Jacob Fuller, Gordon Allison, Emily Waller, Blair Blankenship, and Dalton Williams. Here, then, is part one of War of the Worlds from Arts Live Theater. We pick up the story during a live interview from Prairie Grove.
Well, as I promised you, here's our own Linda Flannery. Good evening, Linda.
Hi there, Bud and everyone. I'm really proud to be here. You know, I've been coming to Clothesline Fair since I was a little girl. I never thought I'd be here as Miss Arkansas.
And I see you're wearing your crown.
Oh, yes. I feel like it really belongs to all the people of Prairie Grove. They have supported me through all my contests, and I am so grateful.
What are your plans for the evening? I mean, are you going to walk around and see the people? Will you eat a funnel cake?
And a turkey leg. It wouldn't be the Clothesline Fair without all the good food.
You heard it from an expert, folks. So come on out, meet Linda. She's signing autographs and posing for pictures. Thank you, Linda, for stopping by.
You're welcome, Bud.
Back to you at the studio, JJ.
Bud, I hate to interrupt, but we have just received a news bulletin a moment ago. The Government Meteorological Bureau has asked the large observatories of the country to keep an eye on the planet Mars. We have arranged an interview with Professor Richard Pearson, astronomy professor at the U of A in Fayetteville, to see if he knows what is going on. Our news director, Carly Phillips, is now with him. Carly?
This is Carly Phillips, news director of KFIN, speaking to you from the astronomy lab at the University of Arkansas. Dr. Pearson stands directly above me on a small platform, peering through a giant telescope. He has been watching the heavens since 8 o'clock this morning and is in constant communication with other astronomy centers of the world. Dr. Pearson, may I begin our questions?
Anytime, Carly.
Professor, would you please tell our radio audience exactly what you see as you observe the planet Mars through your telescope?
Nothing unusual at the moment, Carly. A red planet swimming in a black sky. Quite distinct now because Mars happens to be at its closest point to Earth, in opposition, as we call it.
Mars has stripes across it. What do these stripes signify, Dr. Pearson?
Not canals, I can assure you, Carly. Although it is popular belief to those who imagine Mars is inhabited. From a scientific point of view, these stripes merely mean the result of atmospheric conditions peculiar to the planet.
Then you're quite convinced, as a scientist, that living intelligence as we know it does not exist on Mars.
I'd say the chances are 1,000 to 1.
Just a moment. Someone has just handed Professor Pearson a message. While he reads it, let me remind you that we are speaking to you from the observatory at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville. One moment, please. Dr. Pearson has just passed me the message which he has just received. Professor, may I read the message to the listening audience?
Certainly, Carly.
I'll read you an email addressed to Professor Pearson from Dr. Gray of the Midwest Natural Science Institute in Tulsa. 9:15 p.m. Central Standard Time. Seismograph registered shock of almost earthquake intensity occurring within a radius of 20 miles of Fayetteville. Please investigate. Signed, Lloyd Gray, Chief of the Astronomical Division. Professor Pearson, could this occurrence possibly have something to do with the disturbances observed on the planet Mars?
Hardly, Carly. This is probably a meteorite of unusual size, and its arrival at this particular time is mere coincidence. However, we shall conduct a search as soon as daylight permits. It's probably around Farmington somewhere.
Thank you, Professor. We will now return you to the studio and JJ the DJ.
Here is the latest bulletin from Intercontinental Radio News. In Toronto, Canada, Professor Morse of McGill University reports observing a total of 3 explosions on the planet Mars. Now, closer to home comes a special announcement from Tulsa. The flash in the sky was visible within a radius of several hundred miles. and the noise of the impact was heard as far as Joplin. We are dispatching a special mobile unit to the scene, and we will have our commentator, Carly Phillips, give you a description as soon as she can get there from Fayetteville. We can now take you west to Farmington.
This is Carly Phillips again at the Wilmoth Farm in Farmington, Arkansas. Professor Pearson and myself made the 11 miles from Fayetteville in 10 minutes. Yes, I guess that's the thing directly in front of me, half buried in a vast pit. It doesn't look very much like a meteor, at least not the meteors I've seen. It looks like a huge cylinder. It has a diameter of... What would you say, Dr. Pearson?
What's that?
What would you say... What is the diameter?
About 30 yards.
About 30 yards. The metal on the sheath is, well, I've never seen anything like it. The color is sort of yellowish-white. Curious spectators are now pressing close to the object in spite of the efforts of the law enforcement officers to keep them back. They're getting in front of my line of vision. Would you mind standing to one side, please?
Do you know what's going on?
One side there, one side!
While that officer is pushing the crowd back, here's Mrs. Earlene Wilmoth, owner of the farm here. She may have some interesting facts to add. Mrs. Wilmoth, would you please tell the radio audience as much as you remember of this rather unusual visitor that dropped in your backyard?
Well, I was listening to the radio and kind of drowsing. It was gospel music, so I was half dozing and half...
Yes, Mrs. Wilmoth. And then you saw something?
Well, first off, I heard something.
And what did you hear?
A hissing sound, like this. Kind of like a 4th of July rocket.
Then what?
Turned my head out the window and would have sworn I was sleeping dreaming.
Yes?
I seen a kind of greenish streak and then zingo! Something smacked the ground, knocked me clear out of my chair.
Well, were you frightened, Mrs. Wilmoth?
Well, I ain't quite sure. I reckon I was kind of riled.
Thank you, Mrs. Wilmoth. You've just heard from Mrs. Wilmoth, owner of the farm where this thing has fallen. Hundreds of cars are parked in a field in the back of us. Police are trying to rope off the roadway leading to the farm, but it's no use. They're breaking right through. Do you hear it? It's a humming sound that seems to come from inside the object. I'll move closer. Now we're not more than 25 feet away. Can you hear it now? Oh, Professor Pearson, can you tell us the meaning of that noise inside the thing?
It's possibly the unequal cooling of the surface.
I see. Do you still think it's a meteor, Professor?
I don't know what to think. The metal is definitely extraterrestrial, not found on this Earth. Friction between the Earth's surface usually tears holes in the meteorite. This thing is smooth and, as you can see, of cylindrical shape.
Just a minute. Something's happening. This end of the thing is beginning to flake off. The top is beginning to rotate. The thing must be hollow.
It's moving. The darn thing's moving.
Keep back, people. Someone keep those idiots back.
It's off. The top is loose.
Stand back, people.
I hardly know what to say. Wait a minute. Someone's crawling out of the hollow top. Someone or something. I can see, peering out of the black hole, two luminous discs. Are they eyes? It might be a face. It might be... Good heavens! Something's wriggling out of the shadow like a gray snake. Now it's another one. And another. They look like tentacles to me. There, I can see the thing's body. It's big, as big as a bear, and it glistens like wet leather. But that face, it's indescribable. I can hardly force myself to keep looking at it. The eyes are black and gleam like a serpent.
Ew.
The mouth is V-shaped and dripping with saliva.
Ew.
The thing is raising up. The crowd falls back. Some are running. They've seen plenty. I'm going to try to get into a better position so I can report more accurately. Hold on, please. I'm going to run over behind that tree. Back to the studio for a minute.
Our news director, Carly Phillips, is on the scene at the Wilmoth Farm west of Farmington, bringing you an eyewitness account of what is happening there. And when just a minute ago, a meteor or something landed on the Wilmoth Farm. And now we return you to Carly Phillips at the scene.
Am I on? Okay. This is Carly Phillips, back of a stone wall that adjoins the Wilmoth Farm of west of Farmington. From here, I can see the whole scene. I'll give you every detail as long as I can. State police and units from nearby fire departments and ambulances have arrived. They are keeping the crowd back. Several law enforcement officers are approaching the creature with their arms away from their bodies. I guess they are trying to show them they mean no harm. I hope those creatures know what that means. What anything means. Wait! Something's happening! A hump shape is rising out of the pit. I can make out a small beam of light against a mirror. What's that? There's a jet of flame springing from the mirror, and it leaps right at the officers! It strikes them head on. Good Lord, they're turning into flames! Now the whole field's on fire! The woods, the barns, the gas tanks of police cars, it's spreading everywhere! It's coming this way, about 20 yards to my right.
Due to circumstances beyond our control, we are unable to continue the broadcast here from Farmington. We will try to reestablish connection at the earliest opportunity.
The details of the catastrophe at Farmington are coming in. The strange creatures, after unleashing their deadly assault, crawled back into their pit and made no attempt to prevent the efforts of firemen to recover the bodies and extinguish the fire. Just a moment, please. We have communication with an eyewitness of the tragedy. Professor Pearson has been located at the farmhouse near Farmington. Professor, what happened out there?
I can only speak as an observer, not really as a scientist. What I saw defies science as we know it. There were creatures with a mysterious weapon, some kind of heat ray. They have scientific knowledge far beyond ours. There was no mercy for anything in its path.
We just got an AP wire. Our news director, Carly Phillips' body is among the charred remains of those who were on the scene.
I'll take over a few minutes here. All of us are pretty torn up and confused about the events of today, but the calls and emails keep coming in, and we feel it's our responsibility to bring you the latest information from Farmington. We have news that the fires on the Wilmoth Farm are under control and workers on the scene report all quiet in the pit. No further signs of life or aggression from the creatures.
What? Okay, I'll introduce you.
The Director of Operations for our broadcasting network, Jonas McDonald, would like to say something.
We have received a request from the National Guard to work with them. Our radio station will turn over our broadcast facilities to them. In view of the gravity of the situation, we feel like we need to work together.
Exactly what does that mean, Ms. McDonald?
I guess it means that the National Guard will be giving us up-to-date information about the tragic situation. That way we can inform the public more quickly. I don't really know. I don't think any of us know what is going on, but at times like these, we have to stick together.
It's our understanding that the National Guard and troops from Fort Still have set up a perimeter around the pit where the attack occurred. The Guard would like to tell you what they have done to offer you protection.
This is Captain Lansing, Information Officer of the Arkansas National Guard. Presence of the unidentified creatures is completely under control. The cylindrical object is surrounded by 8 battalions of infantry. Heavy artillery is pointed directly at the object. All cause for alarm is now entirely unjustified. The things, whatever they are, dare not even poke their heads above the pit. One of our companies is deploying on the left flank. Wait. I see something moving on top of the cylinder. No, never mind. It was a shadow.
Captain Lansing, what is going on?
It wasn't a shadow. It's moving, standing on legs. It's going higher and higher. Actually, rearing up on some sort of metal framework. Oh my gosh!
It is hard to believe. Hard to imagine the scope of these incredible events. But we must now believe that the strange beings who landed in Farmington, Arkansas tonight are part of an invading army from the planet Mars. There was a battle there early this morning, before dawn. 7,000 troops armed with weapons that we believe to be the strongest and sharpest ever made were overcome by a single fighting machine. 120 known survivors. The rest are strewn over the battle area that was the Wilmoth Farm, crushed under its metal feet or burned to cinders by the heat ray. Frightened people trying to evacuate the area have jammed I-40 in both directions, east and west. and there have been reports that the monster ray, the invading Martians, are making their way toward Little Rock, crushing cars in its path. And now we take you to Washington, D.C. for a special press conference in progress from the Secretary of Defense.
Citizens of the United States, I won't try to conceal the gravity of the situation that confronts our country. Our number one concern is protecting the lives and property of you and your family. However, I wish to impress upon you the urgent need for calm and resourceful action. However, the enemy is still confined to a small area, and we hope our military forces will be able to keep them there. We will stay strong to confront this adversary with the nation united, courageous, and dedicated to the preservation of human nature. I thank you.
That was Secretary of Defense in Washington, urging us all to stay united and strong. Astronomers report continued gas outbursts at regular intervals on the planet Mars. Are there more of them? Dear God, I hope not.
I've just been given some information that is really interesting and may be helpful. A family who was stalled in traffic on I-40 trying to evacuate the area called in and said that they saw three Martian machines visible above the treetops near Russellville, moving south toward Hot Springs.
I wish that family good luck. I don't know where they are going. I'm not sure any of us can escape this hand that we've been dealt.
We've just picked up broadcast of an army patrol, I believe near Jackson, Mississippi, that are confronting three of the Martian machines. From what I was just hearing, it sounds like they are prepared to attack. Our brave soldiers at work.
Range, 32 meters.
32 meters.
Projection, 39 degrees.
39 degrees.
Fire!
Boom.
A hit, sir. We got the tripod of one of them. They've stopped. The others are trying to repair it.
Quick, get the range. Shift 30 meters.
30 meters.
Projection, 27 degrees.
27 degrees.
Fire.
Boom.
Still can't see it, sir. The smoke's coming nearer.
Get the range.
23 meters.
23 meters.
23 meters.
Projection. 22 degrees.
22 degrees.
It's Fort Manning, Georgia, calling the Pentagon. This is Fort Manning calling the Pentagon. Is anyone there, please?
This is the Pentagon, Air Force Tech Sergeant Lisa Daniels. Go ahead.
Engines incapacitated by the heat ray. All is crashed.
This is an Atlanta, Georgia ham operator. This is a ham operator in Georgia. Warning, poisonous black smoke is pouring in from the Georgia marshes. It's near Hartsfield Airport. Gas masks are useless. Avoid congested areas. All interstates leaving the area are blocked with traffic. The smoke is now spreading up toward Lake Lucie.
Ding dong, dang dong. 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 Dong.
2X, 2L, calling CQ, 2X, 2L, calling CQ. Please come in.
I'm speaking to you from the roof of a broadcasting building in New York City. The bells you hear are ringing to warn the people to evacuate the city as the Martians approach. Estimated in the last 2 hours, 3 million people, not 4 million, not 2 million, but 3 million people have moved out along to the roads to the north. Avoid bridges to Long Island. They are hopelessly jammed. It seems we have no more defenses. We'll stay here to the end. People are holding service below us in the cathedral.
2X, 2L, calling CQ. 2X, 2L, calling CQ. CQ, please, come in, please. New York, isn't there anyone left?
Morning and strangely quiet. I crawled out of my hiding space to view the devastation around me. Blackened crisps of human forms that were once people. The charred remains of a dairy. And yet the sun shines so beautifully to highlight the last few days of chaos. If anyone out there is hearing me...
Stop! Where did you come from?
Put that knife down, brother. I'm a survivor, like you.
Where are you from?
I lived in Fayetteville.
Fayetteville? There's no food there. This is my country. All of this end of town down to that row of hills. There's only food for one. Which way are you going?
I don't know. I guess I'm looking for people.
What was that? Did you hear something over there?
Only a bird. A live bird.
That'll be my meal. As I said, only enough food for one around here.
Have you seen any Martians?
Nah, they've gone to the cities, but at night the sky is still alive with their lights. I believe they are learning how to fly.
Fly?
Yeah, fly.
Then I guess it's all over for humanity. Stranger, there's only two of us left. We need to stick together.
I thought it all out. The Martians only have to go a few miles to get a crowd on the run, but they won't keep doing that. They'll begin catching us, systematic-like, and putting us in cages and things. But what I plan to do is keep quiet, stay here, alone.
Then what is there to live for?
Life, that's what. I want to live, yeah, and so do you. I don't want to be caught and tamed or fattened and bred like an ox.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to lay low, and then I'll try to find the strong ones, humans. We're going to stay together and survive. No weak ones. That rubbish, out.
And you mean for me to go?
Well, I gave you a chance, didn't I?
I won't quarrel about that. I'll go on.
Me and my men, we've got to make safe place for weaklings like you. Once we secure the place, then you can come in with books and museums. But we'll bring every one of them down to their knees. You and me and a few others will own the world.
I see.
Hey, where are you heading?
Not to your world. Goodbye, stranger. I'll just keep walking. Searching.